Infowars.com/show.
We're back on the War Room. This is Rob Dew hosting, Harrison Smith sitting in. You know, kind of what this is we're going through the process of production. People think that, you know, you could be a 12-year-old in your closet with a little box and go beep and you're live and everything works. It's not how it happens.
No, not here. That's for sure. No, it's one of the great things about InfoWars is like even just the quality of the sets, the quality of the production. It shows that somebody put time into this, that there's people, the crew is here. A lot of people care enough about this to make it look good, which means that the information is good. I still think that's an extremely valuable thing to have, even when so many people are just, you know, doing it in their basements.
And that's not what we do. And doing a podcast is a lot different than what we do, which is we have a live show that's on every we're slaves to the clock. You know, the show starts at 11. You know, Joan's show goes 11 to 3. And then at 3 o'clock, there's a 2-minute break. And then at 3, at actually 2:58, then at 3, the War Room starts. And then there's a 1-minute break. And then there's a 4-minute break. And then a 2-minute break. And that's how the clock works. And you're not messing with the clock.
You got to conform yourself to the clock.
The clock. And so we have we're a radio show first that was then turned into a TV show that then we also put out there as a podcast. So it's like three beasts going on at the same time that you all have to make work together. And they don't always work together, but you have to make them work together no matter what.
Yeah, and honestly, it's good for me because I'm the type of person that, like, because I know it's
I need another hour.
Yeah, I'll be like, let's delay it 5 minutes, and then it just never gets done. But it's like, no, you have to be in the chair. You have to be ready to go at this time because it's going live. And if you're not there, then you're screwing over the crew who's sitting there going, what do we do? So it's, I don't know. It's good to work within these constraints. It really forces you to level up in a lot of ways.
It definitely does. And you know, one of the things that I'm going to take a little deviation. We're going to talk about the Pope and Trump here in a second, but I want to sidetrack to this. This is a video that came out, and it's an American talking about the subscription models that we're all beholden to.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, there's cars that you can't get heated seats unless you pay a subscription.
Yeah.
And she's bitching. I think she's bitching about her garage door opener. You can't have somebody else open your garage door unless you pay a subscription, which is like, what?
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. So, guys, this is clip – what clip is this? Clip 10. Yeah, so let's play this, and then we'll come back and talk about it. And then some solutions to get around some of these subscriptions, even find some freeware here. I have some freeware tips here coming around the bend. So let's go to that clip 10.
It's great that everything's a subscription now. Everything's just a rental. It's fantastic. I love that. Didn't have to do a whole lot to convince everybody to be okay with it. They just went, instead of charging you one time for Photoshop, we're going to charge you 3/4 of the price of Photoshop every month for the rest of your life until you die. And we all went, that sounds great. Thank you so much. Printers on subscription services now because printing was already so fucking easy. May as well get an app involved. You get 15 pages of printing free until you hit a paywall. And now you got to pay a monthly fee to use a physical object already in your house on paper that you already purchased. There are some garage door openers that are on subscription services now. Now you have to rent the ability to open a door in a house that you own. Or more likely, in a house that you rent. You are renting the ability to open doors in the house that you rent. Even better. Did you guys know that medical software is on a subscription too? The software that doctors need to use the machines to do neurosurgery? Sometimes doctors will go into neurosurgery and go, oh shit, our subscription needs to be renewed. We need to get our account manager on the phone before we can do neurosurgery. The last person I want involved in my neurosurgery is a member of the sales team, okay? We have to get a guy named Matt on a Teams call before you guys can operate? Oh, it's gone.
Yeah,
down.
Do you have the new code?
Everything's on subscription now makes me really confused when people are optimistic about brain chips. You're going to advertise it by being like, now you can see the world how dogs see the world. But little do you know that now dog vision is the lowest tier subscription that you can have. And if you want to see like a human again, that's another $18.99 a month. After you took the bait and fell for dog vision, they're going to put taste and smell on dynamic pricing. You don't think these people are going to go so far as to make us rent our own bodies? We basically already are.
Boom.
Wow, that's a great point. Now, even just the Photoshop thing, it's so accurate. It's like instead of letting you just buy it and own it, we're going to charge you basically the same amount on a perpetual basis. It's very convenient.
You can actually, people do this on eBay. You can find the older versions of Adobe Studio. And I believe it's Adobe Studio 6 is the last version that you could buy and own on a disc.
A physical copy, yeah.
But see, it's on a disc.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody has discs anymore, so you have to go find a disc drive to hook up to it and then get your stuff uploaded to the computer, which probably won't work on the latest version of Mac OS.
Yeah, I seriously doubt it. So, you know, maybe piracy will make a comeback or something, because I never paid for Photoshop all through high school, but I used it a lot.
There you go. At Deplorable SEO said, there are plenty of alternatives to paid software. You just need to know where to ask. Are brave enough to, dare I say, think different. So then he lists them up here. Web browser, Chrome is a data harvesting machine. The best is Firefox or Brave, although Firefox seems to be a little leftist to mine. And then even stronger, Libra. It's hardened like a Firefox fork, no telemetry, or Mullivad browser, which is a Tor project. Office Suite, Microsoft 365, or Google Workspace. You could also get LibreOffice, which is free, or OnlyOffice. We used OpenOffice for a long time.
I've used LibreOffice too.
And then you got Adobe Creative Cloud, an all-in-one free replacement. Affinity Studio.
Yeah.
Might want to check that out. Affinity Studio. Photo editing, GIMP. GIMP.
That one's
it's
been
free
forever.
Open source. It has been. Yeah, layers, masks, PSD support. That's what you do mostly.
Yeah.
Layers and masks. And very close to Photoshop.
There's a lot of good options for Photoshop. And then there's DaVinci Resolve.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, because actually I know that this suggestion has led to at least one career in right-wing media. Go get DaVinci Resolve. Maybe I don't want to blow up his spot too much, but I'm going to. Joe Wakili of Hodge Twins fame heard me say one time, hey, you know, DaVinci is free. You can download free video editing software and you can make something. You can take down our videos and edit it yourself. But it is professional quality video editing software that absolutely everybody can get for absolutely free. Or if you just have a phone, you can edit video on that and you can start a career in right-wing media, or you can make a meme that, you know, changes somebody's mind. It's actually possible to do that. DaVinci is, and we're not being paid by them or anything, but I just know it's a great product. And
well, there's several
free.
People that use it in the office. They
Absolutely.
Got sick and tired of watching the color bar. I'm almost sick and tired of watching the color wheel turn as I just try to select an object in Premiere
yep.
or make a cut or export something out. And it goes, hey, I'm going to export I have to look at 15 different tracks of audio that you're not even exporting, but I have to look at those first and analyze them before I could dump out your 3-second clip. So hold on. You have a long timeline here with stuff. We're going to analyze all this other stuff that makes no sense and is not part of your project just so we could get to this little piece right here. And that really pisses me off. So, and actually there's a paid version of DaVinci. You can upgrade for $300. And you never have to upgrade ever again.
And you own it. And of course,
right there.
And this is, as you point out, there's cars now with where they have the heated seats built in. You just can't access the software unless you pay for it. And so, I mean, this is making its way into the physical world as well.
Exactly. So you got you also got cloud storage, note taking, password managing, antivirus, file compression, media players. VLC is a good one. Also, a good encoder that'll transcode a lot of things. Handbrake.
Oh, yeah.
Totally free. Yeah. Works great.
I think I first downloaded Handbrake on LimeWire in middle school. That's another one that's been around forever.
It looks like you still downloaded it in LimeWire in middle school.
Right.
Like the interface looks bad. It looks like the 90s, but you know what? It works. And that's the great part about it. Open source is the way to go. And I think you're going to see a lot more people getting on Linux.
Yeah.
They're going to be sick and tired of Microsoft.
Yeah.
They're sick and tired of when you're working. Oh, we have to update. Sorry. You better sit down for the next hour, because I know you're in a hurry, but hey, we got to update this program to do a bunch of things you didn't ask for it to do, and then move a bunch of stuff from here to over here so you can't find it anymore.
You know,
because I'm an engineer. All right, I know what to do. I'm an engineer.
I didn't do it, Rob. Don't yell at me.
Sorry.
I don't work for Microsoft. No, but everybody experiences this frustration. I mean, my thing is like, okay, you got rid of the check-in person at the airport that used to do everything for you. Now I'm doing it, but my ticket costs the same. You're saving the cost on the, you know, salary you're not paying anymore, but I don't see any benefit from this. I think that, to me, is the absolute biggest frustration. But, you know, Windows 11, I was just watching a really interesting video about this. Maybe I should get the data so I can actually present it correctly. But essentially, you know, Microsoft realized that it had this essential monopoly on however they put it, the enterprise systems. So
all the companies are using Microsoft.
They just still use Microsoft because they started using Microsoft and they just haven't changed. And so they just decided we're not going to get any more customers. We just need to maximally exploit the people that are already on it and are sort of stuck on it. The person who designed Windows 11 had never used a PC before. Did you know that?
Wow.
Yeah. The person that does it, which everybody hates Windows
11. I'm not
11.
Surprised.
It's got ads everywhere. I mean, it's about just maximal exploitation because they can't actually make a product that people want. It's really the sign of a declining.
Nothing gets any better. I'm still on an older, this is probably an 8-year-old iPhone right now, 6-year-old iPhone, something like that. It's old because I don't feel like upgrading. And I like the older technology anyway. I like the older cord system that they use, and I had tons of those cords, and it's like, well, no, you got to upgrade to this. We got this new one because the European said we have to go to this new, you know, the USB-C. Nobody cares. People just want stuff that works and works well.
It works for a long time. And of course, this is the irony of the climate change agenda, which of course they've sort of dropped at this point. But, you know, probably the person who's done the most damage to the environment ever is probably Steve Jobs. Yeah. I mean, the fact that he deliberately created a system by which you need a new phone every year. At least that's the idea. There's no reason. I mean, it's planned obsolescence, but not just to make money, to drive the demand and the, you know, you're not a cool person if you don't have the newest iPhone. I mean, that was deliberately created. And this goes all the way back to like the first Apple, the first computers he made. Wozniak wanted to make it really interchangeable, and he just wanted sort of a
platform.
You
could upgrade. And that's how they used to be. You used to be able to upgrade them. Now you can't even get into them.
Exactly. Well, remember, the iPod was the first sort of device ever that had a battery that you couldn't remove. And I remember even at the time being like, I don't like this. Because
who did this?
It was nice when you could pop out the battery, switch a new one in. If you don't want to be listened to, you pop the battery out. Your phone doesn't have power anymore. But all of a sudden it was like, no, we don't want people to be able to do anything. It's all got to be through us.
Except by the latest version.
All
they wanted to do.
And so you just get this endless production line that just it's probably causing more actual damage to the earth than anybody, you know, ever has. But they're the hero.
And on top of that, I think they're talking in China. They have like tons and tons of solar panels that they're starting to change out because the old ones are and they're just like, we don't know what to do with these.
Oh my God.
I mean, a solar panel is really nasty.
Yeah.
It's photolithography, but with the nastiest chemicals. It's like, that's basically what you're doing, is laying all this stuff down on circuit boards.
It's essentially like nuclear waste. I mean, there's a place in Houston. It's just acres and acres and acres because that, and it's also the
windmill turbines.
The windmill turbines are. So
what do you do with those?
They're just putting them in fields and just going, okay,
burying them.
That's just blighted land from now on. It's crazy.
I mean, I can't believe you can't grind those up and use them for something else, but I guess you can't.
I guess not. And it's like, again, just the absurdity of
all. You can't
make
a road out of these turbines? I mean, you were talking about concrete the other day. Was that you talking about concrete? Somebody was talking about why we're using concrete. Or why we're still using concrete on the roads. I'm just like, why are we still using concrete? There's got to be something better out there.
You can imagine. I mean, the windmills are just so huge. And like, if they're burying them now, they haven't been around for 20 years. So like, you've got these fields of windmills. You know that not a single one of those windmills made a fraction of the power that it took to build it, to take it down, to destroy it. It's like,
I don't even think they break even, and then they're boom, they die.
Yeah.
And you have to pay to take it down. Then you've got the footprint of where it was.
Plus, it kills birds.
I got this clip. This is you were talking about the Pope the other day. I thought you did a really good job explaining how the Pope is going there praising the Muslims for killing Christians.
Crazy.
In Algeria, right?
Algeria.
And Tom Homan also weighed in on the controversy. Guys, this is the Homan clip 11. We're going to go to that. It's about 30 seconds. But it's basically, you know, Homan's like an old gumshoe. Seems like an old cop from like the 60s or something. If the Pope wants to come down here and take care of these kids, he can do it. But until then, shut up, basically. Here's Homan.
I'm speaking for the president. I'm speaking for myself, a lifelong Catholic. I wish they stay out of immigration. They don't know what they're talking about. Because if they wore my shoes for 40 years and talked to a 9-year-old girl that got raped multiple times, or stood in the back of a trailer, back tractor trailer, with 19 dead aliens at my feet, including a 5-year-old boy that baked to death, if they understood the atrocities that happen on the open border, I think their opinion would change. And I welcome discussion with any of them because they don't understand. Illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. Where President Trump had the most secure border in the lifetime of this nation right now, lives are being saved. He's saving thousands of lives a year because he has a secure border. Human traffickers are out of business, right? The cartels are going bankrupt because of that secure border.
Wow, that was powerful.
And it turns out Kanoka the Great went back and dug up a bunch of old tweets of Pope Leo.
Yeah.
And he dug these up and he's like, check these out. So here, these are a bunch of retweets where he retweeted. So Robert Prevost was his name.
Right.
And then this account doesn't exist anymore. So in 2020, I join the voice and prayers of those bishops and brothers who are working hard to end racism in our hearts and society. May God give comfort to the families of George Floyd in this time of anguish. He reposted that. Saying Trump's bad hombres line fuels racism and nativism. Call bishops and send preemptive blast on DACA. That was a guy named Rocco, and he retweeted that one. And, you know, some people say retweets aren't endorsements. These are endorsements because I'm going to show you that they are
here
in a second. I stand with the dreamers and all the people who are working toward an immigration system that is fair, just, and moral. Well, I don't even know what that means. It's not just, definitely. As Tom Homan just talked about, you know, 9-year-old girls getting raped multiple times. How is that just? Trump and Bukele used the Oval Office to elicit deportation of U.S. residents. Once undocked Salvador himself, now D.C. Ox Avilio asked, do you not see the suffering? Is this not – is your conscience not deserved? How do we stay quiet? He did that one. Chris Murphy – what is he, Senator of Connecticut? To my colleagues, you're cowardice to act and be whitewashed by thoughts and prayers. None of this ends unless we do something to stop it. They always have this catch-all term of, what do they call it, comprehensive immigration reform, which basically means open borders. We saw what comprehensive immigration reform gets us. And here he is. Here's his own tweet. Thank you. We need to hear more from our leaders in the church to reject racism and seek justice and sign the Catholic climate petition.
Oh, the Catholic climate petition.
So he's all in on the climates, on the migrants. He's a New World Order proxy. And let's not forget where one of his churches is. This is where they like to go, the snake pit.
Yeah. And
this isn't even the gross parts when you get here to see what this is. It's like all the demons.
Yeah. It's like
flailing around.
Jesus, like coming up from hell. It's totally insane. Yeah. Very, very suspicious stuff. And yeah, you know, my point of this was, you know, I agreed with J.D. Vance when he said, look, the Pope is not a politician. He's he's there to talk about moral things. And, you know, he's just doesn't really have a place, which I agree. It's like, okay. He should be able to provide sort of moral guidance above and beyond political considerations, but it should be consistent. And the fact that he's going and laying a wreath, you know, at the tomb memorializing this anti-colonial uprising where they just slaughtered a ton of French Catholics. So he approves of the Algerians violently expelling Catholics who built their entire country, by the way. Algeria didn't really exist before France literally built it from the ruins of the civilization that had been there 1,000 years before. But that's good. That's wonderful. That's anti-colonialism. But if the European people say, hey, you know, maybe flooding us with millions of people a year is a little bit too much, can we turn that tap down? He's like, oh, this is evil. This is awful. So if he was a consistent moral arbiter, then I'd say great. But he clearly has bias against Europeans. He has bias against the Western civilization as far as I can see it. And he's happy to support and really demand that Western Europe be flooded with Muslims, which is like every day there's another church that gets burned somewhere in Europe. There was one burned in Ireland the day before yesterday. There was one burned in the Netherlands yesterday. They're all being burned by Muslim immigrants. So here he is actually encouraging the takeover of the Christian homeland in Europe by Muslims. It's totally inconsistent. There's no consistency there. I don't see any sort of moral certainty of any of this. It's totally arbitrary as far as I can tell. And it's not charitable to be taken advantage of. This, I just want to like drive this into people's heads. If there's a person that's actually suffering, that's actually in need, I do think you have a Christian obligation to help them. if it's just a dude that's lying to you about being in need so he can steal your stuff, you're not a good person for giving him your stuff, right?
Right.
You're not a good person for opening your house to somebody who's just trying to rob you because they've got a sob story. And that's essentially what he's telling us, is believe the fake sob stories or else you're a bad person. No, you're not a good person for being taken advantage of.
Or give millions and millions of dollars to NGOs so they can just not do what they're supposed to do with that money and just kind of fritter away and give it, launder it back to politicians who gave them the money in the first place.
Yep.
And do all the things they're supposed to do with it except, like, feed people.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you'd think with all the money that we spend on feeding people, we could actually feed people. But we don't feed people. It's just more hungry people. That's all we get.
Yeah, endlessly. No, it's just kind of ridiculous, the things this Pope says. Again, I don't understand how you can, you know, have this very hard line, you know, belief about the sacredness of human life, and then you're supporting the number one contributor to death and destruction the world over, the migration crisis. I mean, this is just, I'm trying not to say retarded as much.
I'll say it for you. It's retarded.
Okay, thank you.
I did just get a text from somebody who said, hey, thanks for the tip on Handbrake.
Oh, nice.
I've downloaded it, helped whatever they were doing.
Oh, there you go.
Probably trying to turn a file, some weird Sony file into a file they could use on Premiere.
And actually edit with, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like even the new files you get on, I'm still on Premiere 2020 because I refuse to upgrade. But I can't even use files I shoot on an iPhone.
Oh, really?
I have to combobulate them before I can pull them in there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there was a time, even like in Photoshop or Premiere 2015 or something, we were on that. It wouldn't take anything. You had to like totally turn. You had to turn them into AIC files before I could see them. Which is, I know we're talking weird right now, and we just went off topic. But
but this is a persistent thing with Adobe, and they're sort of having trouble too. But they're doing the same thing that Microsoft is. They have this legacy monopolization where
and they think we'll just keep screwing people. Yep. We don't care.
We'll just keep squeezing it.
I've got the guys. This is clip 13. Let's play this. I've never heard this before.
Oh,
this is the sound of a data center in Michigan. And some guy, poor guy, has to live next to this. Here's this clip, 13.
It's like insanely loud.
It's like a meat grinder or a sand.
Yeah. Continuously, day and night.
All right, and then they're going to cut to a guy talking.
And you can hardly hear him.
You can hardly hear him.
Yeah.
It's the same sound. It's like they turn the camera around, and that's what this guy gets to live with. Hyperscale data is planning to expand.
Yeah. He's unable to open his windows in the summer.
In the summertime, like I said, we have to have our windows open. And
you can't even hear him.
Listening to that all the time. Yeah, I worry about that, the property values, because who's going to want to, if we want to resell the house, who's going to want to buy the house?
Who's going to want to buy the house?
The data side.
Right, yeah.
They ain't moving there. I mean,
they're getting cheap land. They're freeing up the land all around their data centers.
We're going to make you an offer.
Yeah.
We loved it here, but now.
God.
It's not the quiet country city living that we're.
Let's go outside and relax in the yard.
Big.
Yeah, all your plants are wilting because they're like, we're being bombarded with horrible sound waves.
Right.
If it has, I don't know where.
How are you allowed to do this? Like, if I was outside this guy's house with an air horn day and night, they'd arrest me.
Or a band playing a gig.
Right.
You know, oh, we have sound ordinance. How come they don't have sound ordinance?
They have no sound ordinances. And the crazy thing, I mean, these data centers, they are so huge. Like,
keep the sound up. People need to hear this. This is what's going on in America right now.
The one stat I keep going back to, there's one data center in Ohio that's going to use the same amount of electricity as 9 nuclear power plants, which is like, what are they doing this for? What is the argument? I mean, right now, I get my Netflix, I get my Facebook. I don't have a problem with the amount of data we're able to process at this time. Why would we need to build 3,000? We're building 3,000 new data centers at this moment in America. 3,000.
Right.
Like, half of them are delayed, but.
And Meta has got one. This is clip 12. I think we have time to go to this.
Is this one in Florida?
Maybe we don't. I don't know if we have time to go to this or not. We're flying blind down here. But guys, play clip 12. This is the one in Louisiana. Go ahead.
Y'all want to hear something crazy? You know that large data center that Meta is building in Louisiana? Well, they want Entergy to build 10 gas power plants just to supply the electricity
from
that damn data center. I'm not shitting y'all. They're going to provide enough electricity to power 7 million houses.
Wow.
So climate change is not a concern.
Yeah. Power plant. Climate change okay now.
Yeah.
Energy has already signed a contract with Energy Transfer for them to supply them a pipeline of natural gas. 36-inch pipeline.
It's a big
pipeline.
They're
going to provide them 1 billion cubic feet a day of natural gas just to power the power plants so they can provide electricity for that.
Wow. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the ultimate turmeric, and the methylene blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.